Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from the words of the great English Bible teacher Arthur W. Pink, who came to America and Australia and other places to teach the Word of God. He lived from 1886 to 1952. We're reading from his booklet called Comfort for Christians. It's available at the Chapel Library, and all you have to do is write to them at chapel@mountzion.org and ask them for this booklet, and they'll send it. You can ask them for a list of the things that they have there that are free, and there's a long list, and you will enjoy receiving things from them. Well, chapter 3 in the booklet is called Sufferings Compensated. It's from Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Ah, says someone, that must have been written by a man who was a stranger to suffering, or by one acquainted with nothing more trying than the milder irritations of life. Not so. These words were penned under the direction of the Holy Spirit and by one who drank deeply of sorrow's cup, yea, by one who suffered afflictions in their acutest forms. Hear his own testimony. He says, of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's all from 2 Corinthians 11. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, said Paul, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This, then, was the settled conviction, not one of fortune's favorites, not of one who found life's journey a carpeted pathway bordered with roses, but instead of one who was hated by his kinsmen, who was oft-times beaten black and blue, who knew what it was to be deprived not only of the comforts, but the bare necessities of life. How then shall we account for his cheery optimism? What was the secret of his elevation over his troubles and trials? The first thing with which the sorely tried apostle comforted himself was that the sufferings of the Christian are but of brief duration. They are limited to this present time. This is in sharp and solemn contrast from the sufferings of the Christ rejecter. His sufferings will be eternal, forever tormented in a lake of fire. But far different is it for the believer. His sufferings are restricted to this life on earth, which is compared to a flower that cometh forth and is cut down, to a shadow that fleeth and continueth not. A few short years at most, and we shall pass from this vale of tears into that blissful country where groans and sighs are never heard. Second, the apostle looked forward with the eye of faith to the glory. And to Paul, the glory was something more than a beautiful dream. It was a practical reality, exerting a powerful influence upon him, consoling him in the warmest and most trying hours of adversity. This is one of the real tests of faith. The Christian has a solid support in the time of affliction, when the unbeliever has not. The child of God knows that in his Father's presence there is fullness of joy, and that at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16:11. And faith lays hold of them, appropriates them, and lives in the comforting cheer of them, even now. Just as Israel in the wilderness, they were encouraged by a sight of what awaited them in the Promised Land, Numbers 13. And so the one who today walks by faith and not by sight contemplates that which eye hath not seen nor ear heard, but which God by his Holy Spirit hath revealed unto us, 1 Corinthians 2. Third, the apostle rejoiced in the glory which shall be revealed in us. All that this means, we are not yet capable of understanding, but more than a hint has been vouchsafed us. And there will be first the glory of a perfect body. In that day, this corruption shall have put on incorruption, this mortal immortality. That which was sown in dishonor shall be raised in glory, and that which was sown in weakness shall be raised in power. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. The content of these expressions is summarized and amplified in Philippians 3. For our conversation, our way of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then there will be the glory of a transformed mind. 1 Corinthians 13 says, for now we see through a glass, darkly, a mirror, but then face to face. But now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Oh, what an orb of intellectual light will be each glorified mind. What range of light will it encompass? What capability of understanding will it enjoy? Then will all mysteries be unraveled, all problems solved, all discrepancies reconciled. Then shall each truth of God's revelation, each event of his providence, each decision of his government, stand yet more transparently clear and resplendent than the sun itself. Do you, in your present quest for spiritual knowledge, mourn the darkness of your mind, the weakness of your memory, the limitations of your intellectual faculties? Then rejoice in hope of the glory that is to be revealed in you, when all your intellectual powers shall be renewed, developed, perfected, so that you shall know even as you are known. And best of all, there will be the glory of perfect holiness. God's work of grace in us will then be completed. He has promised to perfect that which concerneth us, Psalm 138:8. Then will be the consummation of purity. We've been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans 8:29. And when we shall see him, we shall be like him, 1 John 3:2. Then our minds will be no more defiled by evil imaginations, our consciences no more sullied by a sense of guilt, our affections no more ensnared by unworthy objects. What a marvelous prospect is this, a glory to be revealed in me, who now can scarcely reflect a solitary ray of light. In me, so wayward, so unworthy, so sinful, living so little in communion with him who is the Father of lights, can it be that in me this glory shall be revealed? So affirms the infallible word of God. If I am a child of light, through being in him who is the effulgence of the Father's glory, even though now dwelling amid the world's dark shades, one day I shall outshine the brightness of the firmament. And when the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, he shall be admired in all them that believe, 2 Thessalonians 1:10. Finally, the apostle here weighs the sufferings of this present time over against the glory which shall be revealed in us. And as he did so, he declared that the one is not worthy to be compared with the other. The one is transient, the other eternal. As then there is no proportion being between the infinite and the finite, so there is no comparison between the sufferings of earth and the glory of heaven. 1 second of glory will outweigh a lifetime of suffering. What were the years of toil, of sickness, of battling with poverty, of sorrow in any or every form, when compared with the glory of Emmanuel's land? One draught of the river of pleasure at God's right hand, one breath of paradise, one hour amid the blood washed around the throne shall more than compensate for all the tears and groans of earth. For I reckon, he says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. May the Holy Spirit enable both writer and reader and listener at this time to lay hold of all of this with appropriating faith and live in the present possession and enjoyment of it to the praise of the glory of divine grace. Divine grace. Thank you, Lord. A.W. Pink. A.W. Pink. We'll continue him in a couple days, talking about the great giver. The great giver. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and I want to remind you that we have some things available to you around this site. 3,400 audios, the world's greatest preachers that I could find, persecution stories from North Korea in English and Korean, Bible studies on a number of subjects, a blog. And then we have the Pastorlands YouTube channel, and we have some books at Amazon.com. And then my email, bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. Send me a note, and I'll tell you about some Saturday evening Zoom meetings and our Tuesday noon Zoom meeting for men and women. Thank you so much for being with us today. This audio is being released on the 12th of October, 2022. And Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.